Okay, good afternoon, everyone. I apologize for not being here last week. Getting a lot of flack for that. I wanted to talk a little bit about a famous episode in this week's Parsha. So many people talk about it, but as I continue to go through the Nesiv HaShalom, I find new and amazing insights that he shares with us, and I wanted to share one with you today. We all know, of course, that Yaakov on his deathbed, the dream I think we all have is that we're able to see when the end is coming and that we have enough time to have our entire legacy of our children, our descendants, to be around the bed and to be able to give brachos in which we express and articulate to them our hopes and aspirations and dreams from them. I can't think of a greater way to be escorted into Olam Haba than being able to do so. And Yaakov was really the first one who's capable of doing that. And his sons are all ready to receive their brachos. And of course, the first to receive the brachos, of course, Yosef's sons. A lot of interesting things that the Nesiv HaShalom highlights. But one, of course, is the sikel as yadav, the switching of the hands. Now, I don't have to tell you, there's quite a bit of literature as to understand exactly what was going on here. I'll mention briefly the famous Netziv on this week's Parsha, in which the Netziv asks the obvious question: to the extent he wants to put his right hand on Ephraim, why doesn't he just switch Ephraim to his right and Menashe to his left? Why does he have to keep Menashe on his right but put his right hand on Ephraim? So if you want to take a look, the Netziv has a fantastic insight in which he explains, I think we discussed it last year as well, that Yaakov was highlighting that actually Ephraim and Menashe were both equally important. Maybe Ephraim a little bit more important than Menashe, but that Menashe was not anything less than maybe 1B. What do I mean by that? So the Netziv explains that, of course, Ephraim represented Torah and everything having to do with Torah and Yiddishkeit. Menashe represented the material world. He was the Matar game. He was the political advisor of Yosef. He was the translator of Yosef. And so were Yaakov to have switched it completely and had kept Ephraim on his right knee and put his right hand, he basically would have communicated to the reader that the only thing that's ever important, ever in every situation at any time, is the Torah. And while that's also always going to be true, and it's always going to be the center and the focus of every decision, it's going to serve as a compass for everything that we do, we can't negate the fact that there's value to the material world as well. And so therefore, the Netziv says, I'm going to keep Menashe on my right knee, but I'm going to give up my right hand on Ephraim to say, you know what, Menashe, you're still important. You may not be as important as the Torah. The Torah cannot compete with anything. The Torah is going to trump everything around it. But to negate completely, to completely nullify any existence or value to materialism, to leadership in the political world, right? I always mention Malcolm Holmlein. The Jewish people would not be where they are without Malcolm Holmlein. You need those people too. They're big tzaddikim who are advocating for the Jewish people in so many different ways, shapes, and forms to completely gain. In fact, if you'll notice, and I think I mentioned this last year as well, that if you look in the Hakdama, the introduction to Sefer Bamidbar, you'll look later on, you'll notice that the Netziv comments exactly consistent with what he said in this week's Parsha. And that is, if you look over there, he'll comment to you that if you'll notice, there were two ways in which the machane, the camp in the desert of the Jewish people, was set up. From Parshas Bamidbar until Parshas Pinchas, which is the 40-year experience, so Ephraim came ahead of Menashe. When they were after Parshas Pinchas, which is really at the end of the 40-year period, the whole Sefer Devarim was just a few days of Moshe's life, and they were going to enter into Eretz Yisrael, so there Menashe went in front of Ephraim. Why the switch? Because when they lived in the Midbar, they lived a completely ruchnius type of existence. They lived around the Mishkan. They had the Anan and HaKavod to protect them. They had the mun to consume and to be able to live on. So they were living a life of Ephraim, completely ruchni, completely spiritual. As they were going to enter into the land of Israel, they were going to have to conquer the nations of Eretz Yisrael. They were going to have to work the land. They were going to have to live a life that included, that synthesized not just Torah, but the material world. So there, because Menashe is what represents physicality, so therefore the Machaneh, says the Netziv, puts Menashe ahead of Ephraim. To again, show that kind of dichotomy that exists, the equality, so to speak, of the Ruchnius and the Gashmius working hand in hand in concert in order to complete maybe an Avodah, an Eved of Hashem. With all that as the Netziv, I want to placate those people who like the Litvish Torahs, sometimes even more than the Hasidish Torahs, but I do want to focus on this incredible Nesiv HaShalom that I want to share with you. And the Nesiv HaShalom asks the following question, and he wants to know, if you take a look at the dialogue that takes place, a very interesting dialogue. Again, I never picked up on this. I love when I don't pick up on something, and all of a sudden, something I read. Take a look at the dialogue. So Vayishlach Yisrael Simino Vayoshes al Rosh Ephraim. Right, he put his right hand on Ephraim. Who Atzar Vesmol al Rosh Menashe. He puts his left hand on Menashe. Sikos Yadav Ki Menashe Abuchor. He switched the hands. Vayivroch Yosef Yomer Elokim Asher Tzalovot Avasai Lefanav Aram Yitzchok Elimer. Fine. Hamalcha Golasi. Fine. And then he sees after he gives the bracha. Vayomer Yosef El Aviv. He sees him give the bracha with his hands switched. Yosef is watching this bewildered, not knowing exactly what's going on. And he says, Lo Chenavi, you're not doing the right thing. Ki Zeh Bechor, Menashe is the Bechor, the right hand goes on Menashe. Interesting. Interesting statement that Yosef makes to Yaakov. But what makes it even more interesting is, what's Yaakov's response? Vayimain Aviv, Vayomer, Yadati Bani. Yadati, I know. Gamu Yelam, Vagamu Yigdav, Ulam Achiv HaGadol, HaKatan Yigdav, Men of Zaro, Yemale HaGoyim. He says, I know what I'm doing, Yosef. They're both going to be good nations, but the younger one is even going to be greater than the older one. Says the Nesiv HaShalom, this is fascinating. You know what's fascinating about this? How many extra words are there in the Torah, Meishaleim? How many?
None.
The Torah shares with us this very interesting conversation. Why? I don't know. If Yosef is wrong, so the Torah should have highlighted that Yaakov realized his mistake, right? And he switched his hands back. And if Yosef's correct, then Yaakov should have responded, Taka, you're right. But what does the Torah do here? Yosef introduces his concern. Yaakov responds in is the way he responds, and the Torah goes on to the rest of the dialogue. Says the Nesiv HaShalom, you know what that's telling you? That's telling you that each one of these people in this conversation had legitimate perspectives. Yosef had a legitimate perspective in saying, he's the Bechor, and Yaakov had a legitimate perspective in saying, yeah, but I know the younger one is going to be greater. But there's obviously far more to understanding these two perspectives in this conversation than what simply meets the eye. Right, Phil? Good. So what we're going to try to do today is try to understand what were these two shitos. What was really, it's not just that he was the Bechor. Can't be. He saw his predecessors. Yaakov was the Tzair and he got the Yibracha, right? Yitzchak was the Tzair, he got the Bracha. It can't just be, oh, he was the Bechor, and it can't just be, oh, I know Yosef. No, there's got to be more to this story. What were the perspectives of Yosef and Yaakov that the Torah felt compelled to share the entire dialogue in completion? What's going on over here? Yeah? Good. So Nesiv HaShalom first introduces it with the following. We're going to skip down. We're not going to read the first paragraph. He has a number of other questions. If you're interested, feel free to read them on your own. Fascinating. But take a look at the second paragraph, the right-hand column, where it says, V'yesh Lomar. Everybody have it? Mm-hmm. Good. V'yesh Lomar is going to first give us shtikal hakdama, Mr. Hershorn. Okay? Shtikal hakdama. Here we go. V'yesh Lomar bazeh. Dine ha'inyan sheYosef nischalak lebe shvatim v'nashe Ephraim, v'lo nimtza kem b'shar shvatim. We know that unlike all of the other brothers that got their own bracha, Yosef actually didn't really get a bracha. He really got his bracha through his sons, which is interesting. Of any of the brothers you'd think would get his own bracha, Yosef would be it. The Urachayim HaKadosh, not the Urachayim, I think the Ramban points out. The Ramban, Mr. Dr. Schwartz, you'll see later, another commentary that you'll be excited about. The Ramban points out, and we can all understand what that means, that when a child gets a bracha, that's the greatest bracha a father could ever receive. When you see your children living in a life of Torah and mitzvos, there's no greater bracha. So Yosef got his bracha, but he got it through his children. Okay, not for now. But we know that Yosef, unlike all of his other brothers, the brachos came to Menashe and Ephraim. Who kid Isa b'divi Shmuel debemidah shal Yosef yesh beis chalakim. And the reason why it was passed down to Yosef's sons as opposed to him is because within Yosef, he had two components. Sur merah v'aseh tov. Those are the two components of Yosef. You have to turn away the evil and do the good. Umenashe and Yonah Sur Meirah. Menashe was the one who represents Sur Meirah. How do I know that? Because when Yosef names Menashe, what does he say? Ki nishani alokim es kol ha'amaliv es kol beis avi. Literally translated, Hashem has made me forget all of my hardship and all of my father's household. There couldn't be a greater Sur Meirah. Blackout, selective memory. I don't want to remember those terrible times when I was in jail, when I was sold by my brothers, when I had to travel down to Mitzrayim, and when I languished in jail for all those years. That's the Sur Meirah, and that's Menashe. The Ephraim in Yonah Aseitov, and Ephraim is the Aseitov. Why? Because why was he named what he was named? Ki Hifrani Lokem Beretzani, right? Hashem made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. I was successful despite all of my obstacles, all of my impediments. I was able to overcome everything that was in front of me. So says the Nesiv HaShalom, archive that idea. Menashe is the Sur Meirah, and Ephraim is the Aseh Tov. Menashe, let's say, is the Yira, right? Sur Meirah, and the Ephraim is the Aseh Tov. You do things because you have the brand, you have the excitement, you have the Hislavos. Archive that idea as a Hakdam, as an introduction, and we're going to return back to that momentarily. Says the Nesiv HaShalom, what's going on over here? What's going on? What's this conversation that's taking place between Yosef and Yaakov? Yosef says the Bechor. Yaakov says, no, I know better. What's going on over here? So the Nesivah Shalom writes the following. He says, we have to look about one pasuk earlier. We missed one pasuk. And the pasuk before he introduces the bracha is, he sees Yosef bringing his two sons in. And what does Yaakov say? Mi Eile. Who are these people? Okay. Now, here's where you're going to have to be okay with a little bit of drash. You're going to have to be comfortable with that, Dr. Schwartz. Okay, we're going to open it for you. He's shaking already. He's not ready for it. So here we go. Says in the Nesivah Shalom, as many do, whether you like gematrias, you switch words around, just be patient with me. The word Mi Eile, says the Nesivah Shalom, has the following five letters. Mem, Yud, Aleph, Kuf, Hey. You scramble around those letters, and Mi Eile is the word
Elohim.
Now we know the word Elohim is the language. When you see Elohim in the Torah, you start shaking. That's Midas Hadin, that's Yirah. So Yaakov sees the sons walking in, and he can spot them a mile away, Mr. Charm. And he says, who are these people? Why are they only Ovde Hashem Meira? Why are they only Avdei Hashem Meira? So Yosef says to him, this is all a precursor to the rest of the story. Mi Eila, who are they? Why are they only Ovdei Hashem out of fear? Where's the Ava? So Yosef responds, you read it inside your cell, you'll take my word for it. Yosef responds by selling. Listen, you have to understand, Tati. We didn't live in Eretz Canaan by the Mir. We didn't live in Beis Yisrael and Geula and Me'e Sharim. We've been living in the boondocks, in Nebraska. We've been living worse than Nebraska. We've been living in a place where it's against everything we believe in. And so I, in order to ensure that my children would grow up as from a Yidin, I had to ensure that I instilled the fear in them. Because the Avad thing wouldn't have worked. If I don't tell them, there are going to be severe consequences. If I don't deter them by telling them what's going to happen if they don't follow the Torah, they won't be able to repel the outside influences. There's no way. And they would be lost forever. That's Yosef's response. Yosef's response. Yaakov comes and he says, I don't agree with you. I don't agree with you. How do I know? Because Yaakov is titein emes liyaakov. And emes, as the Gemara tells us, is referring to what? Torah. And Torah doesn't just include being an Eved Hashem, it includes also being an Ohev Hashem. And Yaakov retorts back to Yosef and he says, I don't agree with you. I don't agree that the only way to get your children to do mitzvos is through the Yirah. If you really felt Torah, if Torah became part of who you are, and you loved Hashem, the love that you would have would penetrate and would overcome any of those outside influences, right? I don't have to tell you. The people in the gas chamber crying out Shema Yisrael, there was no Yirah anymore. It was over. But the Avas Hashem, the commitment they have for the Jewish people and for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, overwhelmed anything. Ava can include Yirah in it. You ascribe, you get to the point of Ava, and you can overcome it all. Says Yaakov to Yosef, you got it all wrong. Don't sell yourself short. Don't think that the only way to inspire is through Yirah. Get Torah as part of your kishkas. Let Torah penetrate your heart, your mind, your soul. And then you'll have the Ava. And we know there is no greater emotion that could possibly exist than being an Ohev. There's no greater emotion than being an Ohev. And he says, if you'll turn the page, he points out, he quotes the Orach Chaim HaKadosh. How strong is one's Ahava? Take a look, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines down. The Yisabor Orach Chaim HaKadosh, Shemayu b'nei Adam margishim b'mesikus v'arivus tova Torah. When a person feels the sweetness, the deliciousness of Torah, he's capable, Hayu mishtagin u'malahat ma'achari, he's going to run after, he's going to chase after it. And that strength, that power of sweetness, of love of Torah, you don't need to be an Oved Hashem, an Eved Hashem Miyira, to deter yourself to defend against the Yetzer Hara. If you're Avas Hashem, if Torah is sweet in your mouth, if you love it, it will defeat anything that comes your way. This is the machlokes that existed between Yosef and Yaakov. And this, says the Nesivah Shalom, is how we can now understand what were these two shitos? What were these two perspectives that exist? Yosef says, no, Abba, You're doing the wrong thing. You're putting the hand on the younger one, Ephraim. It should go to Menashe, the older one. And Yaakov says back, no, son. This younger one is going to be greater than the older one. What was going on? What's the basis of this whole machlokas? So let's read the last paragraph together. Remember what we said. Menashe is the sur meira. The Menashe ayah b'chinas who b'sur meira. Kini shani lokem is kam bali. Shemaruma zarova yegib yiras shemayim. That's talking about the yira aspect. The Ephraim who midas asay tov. When you want to do the right thing, why do you want to do the right thing? Shinyon avodas minas asay tov. Ainu minas ava. You're not doing it just because you have to. You're doing it because you want to. Shafilu beretz ani b'makom taiva. Even in a place like Mitzrayim, which is morally debased, completely and utterly unethical, you can go ahead and you can be mashkia. It's called kochas ava ba'asei tov. You can take the tov, you can take the ava, and it's going to overwhelm, it's going to flood the gates, and it's going to be so powerful that nothing will ever deter you in avodas Hashem. That says the Nesiv HaShalom, now we can understand. When we learn Torah, when we do mitzvahs out of ava, there's nothing that's going to stop us. There's nothing that's going to stop us. So when Yosef comes to Yaakov and says, what do you mean? You got to go, you got to do Menashe. That's the Sur Meira. That's what we need. We're in Golos. Yaakov responds, no, that's not what we need. That's a basic level. Yiras Hashem is great. But the ideal, the way to really reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through Ahava. And you can do it even in Golos. You can cling, you could be Dovik to HaKadosh Baruch Hu even in Golos. And therefore, I'm putting my hand on Ephraim because that's the son that represents the Asay Tov. We don't just do things because we have to. We do things because we want to. And that, says the Nesiv HaShalom, perhaps, is really what's going on behind the scenes in terms of this machlokas. Is it the Sur Meiran Golos or is it the Asay Tov? How many of us, when we see the next generation, I see it every day. I see people in shul. I see people in my... I see it all the time where we're constantly focused on the deterrence, what the consequences are going to be. And that's important. People, kids need to understand consequences. But if we don't introduce to them, if we don't let them taste, as the Nesiv HaShalom says, the mesikos, the arvus, the beauty, the flavorful, the delish, the sweetness of Torah, if we don't dangle in front of them the carrot of ruchnias as a privilege, not just a responsibility, how do we expect to pass on the Mesorah to the next generation? Our bracha, my bracha, it's all of us that we should be able to take the message of the Nesiv HaShalom. We shouldn't just be the Yisur Meirah, which is the first step, but we should strive to not only do for ourselves, but to pass on to the next generation, the Asay Tov, to understand that you don't necessarily need to only be Mechanech children with the Yira, but you can take the Ava and that will be Nichlal. It'll include the Yira. You learn Torah, you do mitzvos, it's Geshmak to be a Yid. We got to be able to pass that on to the next generation, and that seems to be at least the way Nesiv HaShalom understands the Machlokas between Yaakov and Yosef. Have a great day.